Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 322. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and joining me tonight, we have Lewis Pugh.
Hello.
Harrison Milfeld.
Hello.
And Colin Crompton. Did we lose Colin?
Colin's gone.
My internet died for like a second.
Oh, that's weird. Colin Crompton, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, everyone, listeners and co-hosts alike. Tonight we are doing our usual two-part structure, starting with Nintendo news and finishing up with our feature. And we're going to try to rank the top five RPG/strategy games on the 3DS. 2013 was a big year for RPG strategy games, so we're going to attempt to do that. But jumping right into news, we have a shocking new Pokemon project that will be announced on the 26th, which is Tuesday, so I don't think that will have happened by the time this podcast is published. So, what do we think that's going to be? I mean, they specifically use the word shocking here, so...
a Pokemon electricity test game?
So, yeah, some sort of Pikachu fiend bath toy.
Oh.
That just sounds very bad on paper.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that, though. But, I got the feeling it would be that Pokemon fighting game that's been...
Oh, Pokemon Fighters.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the first thing we need to kind of figure out or not was whether this will actually be a game announcement or not, because obviously the Pokemon brand now just covers so much, from the TV show to the card games to the toys and everything in between. We don't actually know if this is going to be a video game-related announcement yet.
Not necessarily.
Have they done the Pokemon Monopoly yet?
Monopoly?
Yeah, they've done Pokemon Monopoly. They've done Pokemon Monopoly.
Yeah, I've got one of those in my cupboard.
Speaking of which, we are getting a Zelda one next month.
We are. Yes, we are. I have just the plain old Nintendo one. I never knew there was a Pokemon one.
I think there's a Pokemon one. There should be. But...
There definitely is. I think
well, Lewis has it.
Yeah, so... I have one, and I don't think it's a fake. but I think there's a bunch of them. I'm not sure if they've done like one for every gen, but I'm pretty sure they've done more than a couple. I guess the franchise itself has been around for quite some time now, and I guess they refresh it up.
You probably got a far eastern European version of Pokemon, which basically all of them are just dittos, and basically all the chance cards are in Soviet Russia. Pokemon catch you.
I didn't check the instruction booklet, but yeah, that could have been the telltale sign if I had. But yeah, I mean, in terms of this announcement, I mean, I'm hoping it's a video game announcement, because it's going to be the more exciting thing.
Well, the thing is, they use the word project, which to me kind of indicates that it's going to be a game. I don't know what else could the word project.
Well, project's a very kind of a loose term in this case, because it's covering any areas. I mean, we could be getting a game, we could be getting a new amiibo toy line or something, or we could be getting Pokemon clinging products. I don't know. Anything's out there.
It's so vast now. I mean, it could just be the next Pokemon movie, which bases around some sort of electric type Pokemon, hence the shocking. It might not be anything.
How about this? You know? No. How about this and a live action one?
A live action movie?
Oh.
You like the Dragon Ball Z movie?
No.
Did anybody ever watch that by chance?
No.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
It's so bad.
It was terrible.
Well, let's hope it's a game. We're kind of gamers around here. I don't collect the cards anymore. I don't really watch I'll occasionally watch some old episodes from like the first couple of seasons, because that's when the show was actually good. But other than that, I mostly just play the games, which that's fine too, I suppose. Yeah, I think it might have something to do with Pikachu. There have been games geared specifically toward Pikachu in the past, haven't there? Hey You Pikachu, and
yeah, definitely.
Maybe one or two more. Something on that.
Yeah. I think Hey You Pikachu is the main one. There's like the Poke Park ones, which are kind of seem to be prominently about Pikachu. But yeah, there's a lot of kind of side games. And it'd be cool to see one of those, because we've not really had a Pokemon, like an original side game in a little while.
Yeah.
It's like been a bit... I mean, again, everybody who's clamoring for that Pokemon MMORPG, again, it just has not I can dream, but it may not happen, but it's... do we know when on Tuesday this is being announced?
I'm not entirely sure. It's being announced in Japan, in Japanese most likely, on this site. What was the site called? Oh, Nico Nico? Oh my gosh, that's probably so far off. But it's probably
sounds right,
some
actually.
Crazy time period, for us anyway in the West. So not sure on that one. But, I'm sure when the news hits, it'll be all over the internet in English and in Japanese, if that suits you. But mostly for us in English, and so we'll know when it hits. I don't plan on actually watching the live stream. It's going to be done via live stream. And because it is, on a Japanese website and it's probably going to be in Japanese, I don't have that much interest in actually tuning in. So, but we'll see. Only time will tell on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
As in Tuesday, the 26th.
Yeah, not long.
Up next on our list of news, Fantasy Life is going to feature some online multiplayer with up to 3 players and a text-based chat system. I don't think there's been any confirmation of actual voice chat in Fantasy Life's online, but there definitely is going to be an online. And if you watched the E3 demonstration of this game, you actually saw some of what the co-op looks like, the local co-op, and that's exactly how the online co-op is going to be as well. And it actually looks really fun, so I'm really excited to play this game with some people. It's been a day one buy for me for a long time now, but what do you guys think? Does this sell you on the game, or were you already sold? What are we thinking about this?
So, I was actually only recently convinced that I want this game. I think it was the most recent video which came along with this news. And they showed the online multiplayer. But they also just showed a bit more of the game itself, at least from what I've seen before. And, yeah, it just looks like this really cool fusion of, say, like, Animal Crossing and Final Fantasy. And it looks like it would be really awesome to play with either people locally or online. And I like that the class system, and it just seems to have a lot of character. But yeah, I mean, this game has definitely shot up in kind of my anticipation list. So I'm very much looking forward to this come out. And yeah, it's really cool to see that it's going to have this kind of really nice online mode.
Yeah, you say RPG, and I'm already interested. But as soon as they actually showed this game in action at E3, I was just like, I have to get this. Which I am, but the online multiplayer is just like the cherry on top of the cake, and I'm really excited for it. So there's also going to be a street pass where you can share items, basically, and possibly other things. So, Colin, did you have some thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say, for me, this is the sort of thing, I'll wait for the reviews to come out. I'm not going to rush out and buy it day one. I'll wait to see what people say, and I really wanted to play the original version of this, which was called London Life, and it was on one of the Layton games. Was it the third one?
It's meant to be, here, right?
But we didn't get it, and everyone said it was fantastic. So I'll see if this lives up to that, and then yeah, think about getting it.
So you are to Fantasy Life as I am to Hyrule Warriors. I think that's how this is looking to me, anyway.
And I'm in the minority of this bait, where my interest level is on the middle, I'm, as somebody who blogs about this company for the handhelds and the consoles, I haven't followed so much on Fantasy Life at all. It was just one of those things I hear, and I'm like, it doesn't interest me. I mean, it's...
Is it too cartoony? That's what some people have said.
Not the cartoony style, it was something I looked at, and I was like, it just didn't catch my eye. I mean, it wasn't the cartoony aspect of it. It was really more of its just mechanics that really kind of made me go, I will save my money for something else.
Yeah, been there, done that kind of a thing. That's kind of, I don't know, that's probably, possibly something that other people have thought. about the game. It's funny that, Lewis, you mentioned it's like a hybrid between, what, Animal Crossing and Final Fantasy? Final Fantasy,
for the two I chose, yeah.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, is that it's like, it's a different hybrid based on who you are and what your opinions are on previous franchises. I'd say it looks like a bit like Harvest Moon as well, to me. Maybe Rune Factory, which I've played a game in the Rune Factory series, so I kind of know how that's all about, but yeah, I think that the inclusion of online multiplayer in this game is probably going to help a whole lot of people decide whether or not to get it, so that's good. It's not too bad. It's like I said, they still haven't announced voice chat, but that to me is just, whatever. As long as I can play with people, I'm
good. I don't think it's going to be as intense as, say, Monster Hunter, so I think text chat will probably be fine for just the pinging the odd message across.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up we have, I don't know, probably the most interesting news piece on our list tonight. Ubisoft's CEO has come out and said that they're not planning on putting any more M-rated games on the Wii U. And they have this statement that pretty much explains their reasoning. And he says, it's very simple. What we see is that Nintendo customers don't buy Assassin's Creed. What we see is that they are very interested in Just Dance, very interested by other kinds of games. So what we are trying to do is focus more on the types of games that they are interested in. Watch Dogs is coming to Wii U. It will be the only mature game we publish on it. So no more Assassin's Creed on the Wii U. And I know there's a bit of outrage on this, Colin.
Yeah. It's silly, because they're like, oh, people don't buy Assassin's Creed on Wii U. That's because the last two versions we had were basically gimped. Assassin's Creed 3 on Wii U is still particularly glitchy, because my brother has it.
Oh, I played through 3. I didn't think it was too bad.
I played the demo of it, and it wasn't... then again, it was a demo, but go on, Colton.
Well, I was just going to say, he said it, he found it, like... because he's played all the versions, don't ask. And, he said, like, the Wii U is, like... Even it's, like, the best-looking version out of those versions, but it has major issues. I was like, okay. And he got 4 for the Wii U as well, and apparently that has issues as well as lacking DLC and those things. It's like, why don't we have the same as what the competition has?
Well, I think because look at the versions that we have right now. I mean, once Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs came out, we have those versions that are on, you know, Xbox One, PS4, PS3, 360, and now coming out, and PC as well. Are they really trying to get having that much difficulty with dev kits with the Wii U? But the thing that really put me off for this quote, though, was like saying, this is what we see is that where they, the fans, or the users of this, consumers, they're interested in Just Dance. To me, that seems a tad insulting. I understand there's an audience for that, but that audience is not all here on this one. I mean, it's usually on the one that has that larger install base at the moment, and whereas now it's kind of fairly even right now, even though with PS4 still kind of gaining so much more momentum each month, but If Ubisoft is going to be putting more of these titles in here, would that exactly mean, I don't know, will we be getting more games that are in the vein of, say, Rayman Legends, or are we just going to be getting shovelware?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that it is insulting to specifically mention Just Dance. I'm like, Just Dance, seriously? I mean, I think there is some truth to the fact that Nintendo owners tend to like, you know, the more colorful and family-friendly games, which is what Just Dance kind of is, but that is so, so casual. Rayman Legends would have been a much better example and much nicer to Nintendo fans, hardcore ones anyway, to have used. And I hope that they are working on stuff like that, at least. If they're not going to give us Assassin's Creed and other M-rated games, then give us something else. They should give us Tetris Ultimate. That's one thing that I'm like, okay, if you're planning on giving us the family-friendly stuff, the stuff that you think that Wii U owners are more interested in, then give it to us, as in Tetris Ultimate. That game is not M-rated on any scale, and it looks like a fun cartoony...
M-rated Tetris.
Yeah, it's Tetris, give it to us.
Do you think, I mean, this is a hypothetical, do you think if Rayman Legends remained Wii U exclusive, that the attach rate would probably went up for the Wii U, or do you think it would have sold better?
the attach rate would have gone up significantly, I would have thought. Absolutely.
I'm not sure if it would have sold better, though.
I think
it sold quite well on the other systems as well, but I think that the Wii U version was probably more successful. I've heard that anyway. I've heard that it was more successful than the other versions.
I think, does this probably mean, knowing since we've had EA and, well, Activision is not even bringing Call of Duty Advanced Warfare to the Wii U as well, does this basically mean that it's like, okay, it's where the company's essentially almost on its own right now, trying to keep this console on its feet?
Yeah, it's basically first party and second party support. Which is a shame, because I don't say there's going to be no third party, but it seems like they're not going to go for this console. There's no, if say like, oh, if Ubisoft say, oh, we're going to make family-friendly games, and then everyone else goes, oh, we'll do the same thing. Which is not going to help the Wii U situation at all.
It's a real tricky one, because obviously as Nintendo fans, we want to see as many games and different types of games on Nintendo systems as possible. But, I mean, I think when we're discussing this, we kind of, like, fall under the discussion where, like, obviously this doesn't help the system, it only hurts it, and, like, what sort of knock-on effect that has. But, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, you do kind of have to look at it from third-party eyes. I mean, they don't have any sort of responsibility to kind of, like, support a system beyond what they're getting out of it themselves. I mean, the reason why they're pulling back support is they're just not making the money off their games, because trust me, if they were, they would carry on supporting it. So it is a shame to see that these specific types of games they're calling out, like their big flagship Assassin's Creed, factually aren't selling well on the Wii U. Which is a shame, because at least the versions I played, they were good. I mean, they seem to be putting the most effort in compared to the other big third parties with their big flagship titles, like across the system. At least Ubisoft seemed to, I mean, there were some exceptions like DLC and so on, but they seem to be out of the rest, to be the most careful about trying to keep it in line with the other systems and the other kind of quality that they were putting across them all. And, you know, the reason why they're talking about Just Dance here is probably because it's their best-selling game, even beyond Rayman.
Yeah.
Just because how ridiculously well that game sells, and I'm not entirely sure why, but it does. And I guess it just has a whole market to itself. And, it puts Nintendo in a weird position, because obviously they are left trying to support a system all by themselves, but it is really tricky, because, I mean, it is, unfortunately, their responsibility to keep the system afloat. If they need these games, they need to get some sort of deal in place and to get them across. So we're kind of back to that discussion once more. but yeah, I would love to see more Assassin's Creed and more Watch Dogs and so on. But they're not selling on the Nintendo system.
That is true, and you know it shows that a lot is riding right now on, I mean, I know there's other titles that are coming out this fall for the Wii U, it's just a lot is riding on Smash Brothers at the moment.
Oh, most definitely.
It makes me think, what are they going to do to basically, I mean, we know Mario Kart 8 helped at the moment, even though, well, considering almost everyone in the Wii U, like, its install base pretty much bought, well, it's close to it, bought the game, but as far as an attach rate to some more consoles, it did well, but not as much to get both its, you know, get the last foot out of the grave. It's just, we have to figure out, they have to figure out how to get more people to buy this console. I mean, again, like when Nintendo's head of indie games that helped bring the indie titles to the eShop, one thing he mentioned was, yes, the Wii U name does kind of hurt for the console. I mean, we batted that into the ground ad nauseum, yet he also says that taking focus away from the gamepad would be a bad move. Even though it's not clear that Nintendo has given it, like, to those who are not unsure how it works or how it changes gameplay experience.
Yeah, there are obviously some particular reasons why the Wii U isn't as successful as previous entries, but I think we're going down a huge rabbit hole here. what I would like to add, though, is I forgot what I was going to say now completely. Oh yeah, what I was going to say is I think one of the reasons why, you know, their mature line of games aren't selling that well on the Wii U, like Assassin's Creed and so on, is there is an overlap between the people who already are playing the games from that franchise. They obviously started on a different system, and so I think the people who own Wii U's, or a lot of them already also own either a PS3 or an Xbox 360 or a PS4 or an Xbox One, and there usually is some benefit of picking it up on one of those systems, whether it's the guaranteed DLC support, whether it's the fact that they just already have their online friends already on that system. But there seems to be incentives for them just to carry on playing it on that other system that they played the previous games on instead of buying it for the Wii U. I don't think they've managed to find a way, and again, I'm not even entirely sure it's Ubisoft's job, but there's been no reason for a person who owns both consoles to go out and buy the version for the Wii U opposed to buying it on their PS3. And I guess that's what some of the Wii U user base is doing. They probably own the Wii U, but they buy their Assassin's Creed games on a different system. So I think they've got that fighting against them as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Colin mentioned this a little earlier. It's like, you don't give us the DLC on the Wii U, and so, yeah, that overlap. That overlap plus the lack of the DLC on the Wii U version, versions of these games is, yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, I mean, it's a pretty logical statement to say that, like, Wii U owners don't typically buy mature games because, you know, people buy Nintendo systems for the family-friendly Nintendo stuff. That's pretty logical, but at the same time, I think that Ubisoft, you know, has made a lot of mistakes on the Wii U as well, and so that kind of devalues this statement just a little bit there, so, yeah. Moving on to some first-party Nintendo-related stuff. Europe has received those promised discounts on games based on Super Smash Bros. Veteran Fighters. Just like eShop games based on, you know, probably Mario. I don't actually have a list in front of me this time, but games based on Mario and, who else? Link, probably? Oh, and some of the Fire Emblem characters, including, I mean, Europe is getting this soon, or they already have it. No news yet that it's coming to the United States, though, which kind of burns me up, but Europe's getting Fire Emblem, the original Fire Emblem that came over to, which I think it was like the third Fire Emblem game in Japan or something, first one that came over to the West, though, and so it is just called Fire Emblem for the Game Boy Advance. That's finally coming to the European Virtual Console on the Wii U. So another reason why you guys are kind of a little luckier than us. Yeah. Although, you know, things balance out a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows over here. But, no, it's alright. Yeah.
Are you guys planning on getting it?
I already have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it has come out already.
It landed on the Thursday. It's kind of the Thursdays are our date for eShop things to drop. That's when the special offers took effect, and yeah, Fire Emblem for the GBA landed on the Wii U. And at a discount as well, because it was part of both the promotion and it just coming out on the same day. So I definitely grabbed that for a couple of quid.
Lucky. I really want... I was actually... I have been hoping, in fact, that Nintendo will put Sacred Stones on the Wii U Virtual Console. It's funny because when Nintendo released Sacred Stones along with all those other Ambassador games on the 3DS, they promised that these would be, like, the GBA games anyway, would be, like, Ambassador-only games. They would not release them to the general public. But, you know, they've already done that with the Wii U, with a lot of the other games. So I'm totally expecting Sacred Stones and possibly the original Fire Emblem to finally make their way over here. I actually have money in my eShop account, like, saved specifically for that purpose. Although I have recently been tempted to purchase the... actually, this was a really early release in the eShop. Bionic Commando, the Game Boy remake, I guess. Because I've been playing Bionic Commando, and this is a perfect little segue into my Retro Redux update. I've been playing Bionic Commando, like, with an original NES and an original NES cart. And I recently saw that the Game Boy remake is available. And I'm tempted to get that on my 3DS, but...
So it must have left a positive impression, the NES version?
Yes, I have been really, really enjoying it, actually. I mean, Fantastic. It was kind of frustrating and new at first, like I think I mentioned in the last episode. Yeah, last episode I kind of talked about a little bit of frustration I was having. I hadn't even been able to get past Area 1 at that point, but I've gotten, you know, a lot further, for one thing, and have just been really enjoying the game. I have to restart continually because it's really hard on an NES game because there's no real save points.
Yeah, good point. I guess
that didn't come along till Zelda, but in Bionic Commando. Actually, Zelda came out in 86, didn't it? Well, Bionic Commando still doesn't really have any like save points or even passwords, and so I have to restart it over and over and over again whenever I die. But you can actually go to Infendo.com and see a little bit more detail on my impressions of Bionic Commando. What I want to do now is get you guys' vote for the most current vote, which is actually, I've kind of just called it, second placers get a second chance, because I've had some real outspoken people tell me that, like, Star Tropics needs a chance, and so I thought, like, well, I'll give it another chance here.
I said you need to try, it does need a second chance.
It's got one vote in there.
Well, here are the other second placers that it's going against, and you guys are going to pick one of these. Star Tropics, of course, is up for vote at the moment. It is going against Maniac Mansion, Super Mario Bros. 3, and Metroid, previous second place winners. Actually, Super Mario Bros. 3 and Maniac Mansion tied for second place a few votes ago. So,
interesting.
But it's your guys' turn. Pick your...
You already know mine, so...
Star Tropics from Harrison. Lewis.
I'm going to ditto Harrison here. And if it does win, I will join you. Because I still need to play that game.
Okay. Star Tropics from Lewis as well.
And I know it's on the virtual console.
It is. I have an original NES cart of it. Which is good, but I'm always willing to, well, I'm trying to get all the games in original format, but if I have to do a virtual console one once in a while, I hope you guys won't be too harsh on me for that, but Colin,
no.
Are you going to deviate from the
I am going to deviate.
Pattern.
See, it's got to be Maniac Mansion, and for one reason only, right? It's just that's a very slight spoiler, but it's out of context, so don't worry about it. You microwave a hamster. I mean... Exactly.
It does have that going
Why
for
wouldn't
it.
You want to play that?
Enough said.
Exactly. Get it today, folks. So, yeah. Great game.
All right. I will count your votes. It's funny, Maniac Mansion, when it was actually up for the vote, I mean, I think it got its butt kicked by Bionic Commando, in fact. even though... well, let's see here. Actually, Bionic Commando... No, Metroid was what won against Bionic Commando. I'm trying to remember. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles won... against Maniac Mansion and Super Mario Bros. 3, and it actually beat them by quite a lot. So
wait, which TNT were we talking about? The first one, which was not based on the arcade, or the second one, which was based on the NES version of the arcade version?
The second one.
Okay, that
based
one.
Based on the arcade version. So it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. I believe that is the one. Maniac Mansion. I think I might be getting my votes mixed up now, so I should probably just get off of this whole tangent. But I'm just surprised that... I mean, Maniac Mansion, I will tell you this. Maniac Mansion has been getting quite a few votes so far. Ooh. And I'm kind of surprised because Star Tropics was a real contender when it was in that first vote. And so I kind of just expected Star Tropics to win. But we'll see. Only time will tell on that one as well. So I'm looking forward to that. That pretty much concludes talking about our discussions about news stories related to Nintendo today, though.
Although, we... I was going to say, there was one thing we wanted to talk about, one that's caused a bit of controversy.
Something that Harrison wanted to bring up.
Yeah, well, This week, in one of the daily Smash Brothers updates, we were given a new costume choice for Zero Suit Samus, and it's basically what I'd call what people are dubbing whatever is a Samus' sports bra and shorts. And the reason why this has brought up more controversy, though, is the fact that many fans of the series, well, some fans of the series feel like this is the sexualization of the continuing sexualization of Samus, and The one argument I heard against it, though, that I thought was a little compelling, I mean, to me, I felt all the outrage over it was just a little bit blown out of proportion, is Nintendo Life brought out a discussion on the whole sexualization of Samus, saying how when you see Samus without her power suit, it should be only seen as, you know, in past Metroid games, if you finished the game in a certain amount of hours, you would see her without a power suit. It's supposed to be meant as a reward, not to see her without her suit. Compelling, yet it's just, I don't see, the only way I would see is more as a sexualization or, you know, de-evolution of the character is, well, you're taking away from her own abilities, as in, you know, to being a strong-willed female heroine in the world of video games. I just don't get it. It first started out with Zero Samus's, like, rocket boots, or rocket heels, in this case, and now it's gone to this. I mean, do you all feel like this has just gotten blown out of proportion, I mean, out of hand for fans, or do you really feel like that Nintendo has gone away from Samus' roots?
Well, I think it's hard to say that it's gone away from her roots, because for good or for bad, it's always been, like, a side of Metroid in terms of, your kind of reward for beating Metroid at faster times is essentially seeing skimpier versions of Samus at the end. Even on the original game, you had, was it just the helmet off, and then it was, you know, the obvious, just the bikini suit. And these two costumes come from Metroid Fusion, I believe?
I
think in the same vein, both of those costumes popped up in kind of anime art form, depending on how many...
One was from Metroid Zero Mission, I know that. Both of them are.
So yeah, so they're from the GBA games, and depending on the completion time, you would get a different version of art to kind of celebrate your victory. So I don't think it's necessarily a new direction. Whether it's something they should be continuing, or, you know, just kind of saying it was something of the times and, you know, doing something different with the character is something else entirely, but... For Smash Bros, I think it's fine, because it's kind of a celebration of history of Nintendo and the new stuff, and a lot of tongue-in-cheek as well, and just, you know, comedic effect all around.
I think if Other M was... Say if Other M did not exist, I feel like we wouldn't be talking about this. I think it all that stems from that game right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I really feel like all the anger is directed, basically, they have to find... Once something a little subtle change to that, or not change, but added effect to the character, is it always kind of stems back to that game. I understand that the portrayal may not have been what many wanted, but it's not like it's a portrayal that's like set in stone, okay, this is how the character's going to be for the rest of the series' future. I mean, it's not, it just everybody has to go back to that game to stem their anger, and I just don't get it, as far as, I mean, it's in the past, you know, just. That was, I wouldn't say called a mistake, but it's just, I'm sure Nintendo's learning from people's, you know, opinions of said game, how they feel like that, well, even though Nintendo knows how the character should be, but, you know, their concerns of how the character was portrayed.
No, I completely agree. Another thing, I just remembered, not only could, in the original Metroid, of course, you could see Samus in, the bikini suit, as it were, at the end of the game, there was a code, or I think you could also unlock it, was to play the full game in that suit.
Oh, and Justin Bailey.
Yeah, the Justin Bailey code.
Justin Bailey, yeah.
So in that respect, I think in terms of a funny alternative costume for Zero Suit, designed by Sakurai no less, I think it kind of fits the Smash Bros. Theme, as it were, quite well.
I
welcome different opinions.
I've been trying to decide whether I should mention this ever on the show, but I live with my parents currently. I'm working two part-time jobs and just, like, saving money. It's logical, people. I mean, they provide, I pay them, you know, a monthly fee, a big one. But I am saving a lot of money doing that. And I'm just thinking about, like, what if I were playing Super Smash Bros. When it comes out and I'm playing as Zero Suit Samus in shorts and a sports bra, and my dad walks in and he sits down and is watching me play this game. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah,
I probably will not be using this, and I don't like it at all. I think the design is weird. I probably would have you know, I thought it was okay if it was designed a little bit differently. It's just that with her weird rocket heels looks...
True, they weren't in the original.
To me, kind of stupid, and I don't like it. I think it is a bit of a sexualization of Samus. I mean, she looks all hardcore in these pictures, but I can't take, like, her weird poses seriously, and it just... ugh. My opinion is probably on the opposite end of the universe from Lewis's, to be perfectly honest.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with whatever. But I know that other people, you know, have plenty of opinions. And listeners who have,
It's the internet. It's the internet. Everybody has a voice. And sadly, that voice, majority of the time, is bile. So.
Yeah. Well, so I feel Zero Suit Samus has been no more sexualized than Luigi has in the previous Smash games.
How do you see that?
What?
Just his final smash and some other Telltale clues.
Yeah. Well, the thing with this is, I mean, I don't like it very much, but the thing is, I'm still gonna buy the game. I don't care if it's in there. I probably just won't use it. And yeah, that's what makes me not care enough to not get the game. I mean, if I cared, like, a ton about this, I probably wouldn't get the game just because of it, but obviously I'm still going to get the game, and I don't have to play as Zero Suit Samus with her alternate costume, and I'm fine with other people if they want to, and even if I'm playing with them online, you know, you can play as who you want and with whatever alternate costumes are made available to you. So, yeah. But listeners, if you have any thoughts on this, we'd love to hear them. Send us an email at contact@infendo.com or leave a comment on the site if you're in your browser. Finishing up with our news, or that actually finishes up our news, doesn't it? We are moving on to our feature, which we are going to try to rate the top 5 RPG/strategy games that have come out to the 3DS so far.
And we must note that Harrison here has... only, let's see, let's look at this. Yeah, has not played any of these. I know. I still haven't picked up Fire Emblem Awakening. I know.
Pokemon's on there. You've played that.
Okay, Pokemon's on there. But as far as I thought we were talking, yes, come with the pitchforks at me again. We had a reader discuss to us why we don't cover so many games, and we joyfully answered why. You know, like me. It's money. It's money when it comes down to. I can't get all these games.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing. Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before too. But if you have all the money that you need to buy all the games that you want, I can't imagine you actually have time to play all those games. So I don't know. It's balance issues there. Unless you have someone buying like mass amounts of games for you, and you have plenty of time to play them. That's a different situation, but most of us working folk don't have much time to play games, and so we don't buy a ton of games. But I digress from that. let's just go down this list and determine who has what, for one thing. I'm just going to make a little note of that on here. So, let's see. You have to at least have played it. Like, this first one, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Shadow Wars. I believe it was a launch title for the 3DS. Yep.
It's one I did own.
I did, too.
Ah, okay.
Did in the past tense for both of us, it sounds like.
Yep, so me too. I did own it.
Did.
Long ago.
So we have at least 3 people who own that, or who have played that one, at least. Yeah. Okay, why did we all get rid of it? I want to know.
Good question. I was disappointed in the game. I kind of got built up into the hype of that it was going to be some awesome Advance Wars type game. Or at least some sort of Fire Emblem-esque game, and in some ways it is, but it never really just grabbed my attention, despite it being a 3DS launch title and me wanting to really like it. I felt it was quite slow, and it felt quite a chore to play through some of the missions.
I have to agree with that. I think I just traded my copy in, possibly? I don't even remember what I did with that. Colin, what happened with yours?
Well, again, I got hyped up because the project leader on the game was one of the designers for XCOM, the old XCOM PC. I love that game. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, strategy game. I got it. I played through it. I finished it. And I just never wanted to go back to it. It was just, once you've done it, you've done it.
That's true.
It was okay. And, so I was just like, oh, well, I'll move on to something else. and I did.
So that probably won't make the top five, just based on those comments. Next on our list is Tales of the Abyss in 3D. This is technically a PlayStation 2 remake, but I think they solved at least... I mean, I just read about this in Nintendo Power. I've played the game, by the way, but I've never played the original, so I don't know what changes were made. But according to what I read in Nintendo Power, they just made the load times a lot shorter, which is good.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I've played this... beat it. It took me like 60 some odd hours, which seemed pretty long at some points in the game. I was like, just end already. The story got really convoluted by the end. But as far as gameplay goes, it actually was really good. I enjoyed the fighting in it. It's kind of like an action-y RPG, which I thought was actually, it worked really well and it was very fun. So the gameplay didn't get boring. The story did. That was the only problem with it. So has anyone else owned and or played this game?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So, Colin, what's your opinion on this? I don't know. The question is, should this game, being a PlayStation 2 remake, should this game, like, be allowed on the list at all?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's an RPG, and yeah, I guess. But, no, for my story of Tales of the Abyss was, I got it. I was very happy. I played 8 hours of it. I didn't know what the heck was going on. And so I was like, well, the storyline is so condensed with different terminology and warring factions and countries at war. And
it makes no sense.
I was just like, what? And it's like, I was like, it's a musical integration as well. I'm like, I've got other things on the go. This is, you know, I mean, I still own it, but I haven't gone back to it. And I've had it for quite a while now.
So you said you played it for what, 8 hours?
About 8-9 hours, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it starts out, story-wise, it starts out simple enough. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's just a basic plot, but then it gets... They introduce you to what's going on in the world, and it's like, slow down, let me process this information. But no, it's complicated.
Yeah, it gives you so many dots, but never a way to connect them.
Absolutely.
That's how I describe
it.
But I'd still, I mean, I don't own a whole lot of RPGs. I mean, this is a pretty massive list, and I don't own most of them. But Tales of the Abyss was actually pretty good, and if it came down to it, I'd probably put it on the list somewhere. I don't know where. But we can talk about that once we actually get through it. Heroes of Ruin. I played a demo of this, and that's it. Did anyone get their hands on Heroes of Ruin?
No.
No, I may have played the demo. I'm not even sure. I remember hearing a lot about the game pre-release, but I didn't play it in the end.
Yep, me neither. It was kind of underwhelming. Even the demo, I was just like, this isn't that great, honestly. So I'm guessing, Harrison, you haven't played this one.
We're going to be going far down this list to actually tell you what I've been playing.
All right, the next one on the list is Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance. And I'll say right now, played it, beat it. It was actually very good, very colorful. The gameplay is pretty solid. Storyline's crazy, too. I don't know what it is with JRPGs, but a lot of them just have stupid storylines. I'm not going to lie. But has anyone else gotten this one?
Yes, played it, beat it, and done all that. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant game, but the trouble with the Kingdom Hearts series is you have to know the storylines. It's weird because the games are scattered, because Nintendo generally gets the in-between games, whereas PlayStation gets the main titles. Why that is, I don't know, but, if you want the full story, you're best off looking at a wiki or something, but, yeah, very good game, very good game. It's quite lengthy too, which is really good. So, yeah, really enjoyed it.
I'd put it in the top five, so we'll give that one some good marks here. I'm just putting some numbers down. They don't mean a thing at this moment, but next on the list, Code of Princess. Anyone owned or played this?
No.
Nope.
Doesn't sound like it. I own it. I've played it a little bit. It's alright. I don't think I've played it enough to know whether it would be on the top five list, though. So, we're just gonna put some more numbers there that don't mean a thing, but they will soon. Next, we have Paper Mario Sticker Star. Okay.
Which is now cheap at various stores at the moment.
would anyone, like, just right off the bat say, like, this needs to go on the top five list of RPG/strategy games on the 3DS?
No, I wouldn't. I've played it.
I never played it, so...
Lewis, did you try to get through it?
I can't remember how far I did get into that game.
was it that bad?
Which is a shame. I mean, well, at least compared to other Paper Mario's, at least in my opinion, it was. I don't know what it was about it, but it felt very off. It didn't really feel much like a Paper Mario. Again, I wouldn't necessarily know exactly why that was. But no, I mean, I've loved previous Mario Paper Mario titles.
Mario Party.
Well, I do like Mario Parties, but that's another point entirely. But yeah, no, this one, again, is a game I struggled to get into. And no, I definitely didn't complete it.
RPGs should not be hard to get into. I mean, they should be hard to get into in terms of, like, learning the mechanics. But even as you're learning the game, you should still be kind of, you know, into it. And so, yeah, not good marks on that one. Next on our list, Unchained Blades. I honestly did not even really know anything about this game when I put it on the list. I just was looking at Nintendo's site. So, has anyone played this?
No.
Or owned it?
Nope.
Okay, we'll just skip right on down to the next one, which is probably, I don't know. It's number one to me already. Fire Emblem Awakening.
The game that has eluded me so much for the past almost 2 years. And so yes, I don't own it. I need to get it.
Okay, well, Lewis, you definitely have this game.
I do. It's an awesome game. Fantastic
awesome
game.
Giving it good numbers here. Lewis, sorry, you just talked. Colin, I don't know if we've ever asked you whether you have this one. Do you have Fire Emblem Awakening?
I do have Fire Emblem Awakening.
Okay, on that.
Well, I'm going to drop a bit of a bombshell here, folks. I didn't think it was the best Fire Emblem game I played. Mm. I played them all. But yeah, as a handheld version, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. To be the greatest Fire Emblem game is still Path of Radiance on GameCube. Path of Radiance was on the GameCube, wasn't it?
I don't know.
There's two Radiances. Yeah. I'm not sure which is which.
Yeah. Path of Radiance was GameCube. Radiant Dawn was Wii. There you go. Path of Radiance of the GameCube was better.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so yeah. But it's definitely my best handheld Fire Emblem. Okay. Yeah, it's one of the games you have to own, Harrison.
I talked about this last year when we were trying to determine our number one game of the year. Me and Lewis kind of went at it. I was all for putting Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, on our number one. And Lewis really wanted Fire Emblem Awakening to be on number one. As far as gameplay, Fire Emblem Awakening. I just found myself more interested in matching up the characters and reading about their little support conversations. But, you know, the strategy itself is also very good, and so it's all around a fantastic game. I ended up putting, I think, at least 200 hours into it. Yeah, I mentioned that last. It was like 250-something hours. So that's kind of crazy. The next game we have here is Etrian Odyssey 4, Legends of the Titan. Does anyone have a strong case for this game?
I played it and completed it.
I have a strong case for not remembering it.
So, Colin, it sounds like you're probably the only one who's played it, and you beat it, and it's just kind of so-so. We lose him again?
Oh, dear.
And that's what that beeping is. We keep losing Colin.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, my connection dropped out again. I was like, oh.
That's all right. I was just asking what your thoughts on Etrian Odyssey 4 Legends of the Titan were.
I thought it was okay. It's a lot to do with, like, cartography, which is a staple of the series. It's just a fairly solid RPG. It's very much like Dragon Quest, but first-person dungeon crawler type. But it was okay. I would say it's the best thing on 3DS, or at least in the top five. So.
All right. Next on our list here is Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. It has to be the 3DS version because these are games on the 3DS, so...
They're the same.
They're not the same.
They're online play.
Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the Wii, on the 3DS is exactly like the Wii U version, but I don't know if I would put it on the top five list because the Wii U version to me is like the version. I mean, I'll take the 3DS version on the go, and it's fine, especially with the Circle Pad Pro. But the graphics, they kind of are like, how would I describe those graphics? They're like mushy.
Very jagged.
On the 3DS.
Jagged.
They're not even jagged. They're just kind of like fuzzy.
Yeah.
They were really underwhelming to me. Which I think Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is going to solve. Those graphics look really cool and vibrant, but yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to have to put a case in for the portable the version of Monster Hunter 3. I might be a bit of a hypocrite here because I spent most of my time on the console version pure because it was the better version. But I did do a little bit of back and forth swapping the save files, which was pretty cool nonetheless. And again, it is a bit of an obscure, a bit of a weird scenario to be in. But I have had, been able to use the Wii U to bring the 3DS version online. Went over a friend's house who doesn't own the Wii U game, but does own a Wii U. And so, yeah, I mean, there's some cool things you can do, and I do like the linking between them, the fact you can keep that coherent and consistent experience. But yeah, I think it does feel like a pretty huge game, and I do like it on the 3DS still, and we probably better get used to it with it looking like 4 is going to be 3DS exclusive.
Yeah. So yeah, the connectivity between the Wii U version and the 3DS version might just be enough to get this on the top five list, but we'll see. Next we have, and I'm just going to kind of pair these together. Not sure what the difference, I'm not into Shin Megami, but there's Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner Soul Hackers, and Shin Megami Tensei 4. So, I mean, does Europe have either of those?
I think we have Devil Summoner.
Okay.
Not played it though. If we do,
Colin, and I haven't played I haven't played 4 either. Harrison, you haven't played 4 either, have you?
No, I was gonna pick it up this time last year when it initially came out. And it just I think whatever, like a friend of mine mentioned, is like, you know, if you really liked, you know, Fire Emblem, you'd be liking this. I'm not saying it's the same vein of it, but I don't know. I guess just the fact of my unfamiliarity with the series that really kind of put me off. But anytime when I see it on sale, I always kind of quick myself. I'm like, you know, I need to try this out. Especially with Shin Megami Tensei and X Fire Emblem coming out, whenever that will be.
Yeah.
So we probably won't be able to put either of these on our list, just because none of us have played it. So I'm just going to move straight on. I'm going to start skipping some of the ones that I think are probably not going to make it for sure. But next is Mario and Luigi Dream Team. Quickly, has anyone played this, and does anyone think it should be on the list? Because I haven't.
I don't know why I didn't pick this one up, but it's... I mean, someone...
It should probably be on there, based on reviews that I've seen anyway.
Yeah,
Lewis, I thought you played this at some point.
Unfortunately not. Because I've played some of Paper Mario, but no, I've not played the apparently better Mario RPG of the system, which I have been hoping to pick up at some point, but it's something I've not got around to. But yeah, it does sound at least like a lot better game.
Yeah, I guess Paper Mario Sticker Star kind of just ruined it for some of us. Yeah. Colin... You haven't played it, have you?
No.
Dang.
We're very bad at this.
Okay, I had an idea. We're kind of actually running out of time, so we can actually make this a two-parter, I think, and hopefully get some listener feedback into it. So listeners, if you have a game on this list that none of us have played and you think should be in the top five, please let us know, and we can actually kind of integrate that into our final top five, which we will give next week. But for now, I'm just going to put a little zero here indicating that we haven't played that one. Pokemon X and Pokemon Y, which I think all of us have played.
Extensively.
Yes.
Yep.
I was just looking at my playtime. I actually have like 90 some odd hours, which surprises me. I thought I beat it at like 30 something hours. I don't know what I spent the other 60 hours doing, because there's not a whole lot of post game, but apparently it's just addicting. That's how Pokemon is. You can just like put hours into that game and not even realize it. So I'm gonna say, I mean, I've played it, and I definitely want it to be in the top five, possibly at a pretty high spot, along with Fire Emblem Awakening.
These iterations of the Pokemon series what made me fall back in love with the series after being away for so long. And
probably number one for Harrison, because that's the only one that played.
The only one, and it just it does pain me, though, that I haven't really picked it up a lot in the last couple months, but... I mean, with Alpha, we're like, with Ruby and Sapphire getting remakes. I mean, that could change. So
yes.
So, yeah, I'm wondering now if we can include the Virtual Console entry of the Game Boy Color Pokemon card game on here.
If you want to include that one, I haven't played any Pokemon trading card game. I haven't played the card game in any form, video or actual card.
It's a good game. No, it's like I'm kind of slowly playing currently on the 3DS, which obviously played it on the original Game Boy Color. Another point I wanted to make, I've just quickly checked the eShop, and both Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survive Overclocked and Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers are available on the UK eShop.
But you guys don't have four yet?
We do not have four, no.
That's strange. Okay, next we have actually Bravely Default, kind of a bigger release, but I don't know, it was a mixed bag for me. I mean, sometimes it was an amazing game, graphics-wise, like the, you know, hand-drawn backgrounds and stuff are absolutely gorgeous. The gameplay is fantastic. The story, though, and the voice acting, they just kind of, like, get to you after a while.
You could switch to Japanese voice acting, though, which was something.
I don't know. I've never seen or played anything with the original Japanese voice acting.
Not even Fire Emblem?
And so it still is a weird thing. Not even Fire Emblem. It still, to me, is just kind of weird. No matter how good the voice acting is, it's just weird to me. I need to try it out with, like, a Miyazaki movie someday. Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, I don't know. Does anyone think, like, oh, Bravely Default needs to be way up there? It definitely needs to be on the list, and it definitely needs to be high.
I don't know.
I've had friends who enjoyed it. I mean, I have a roommate of mine who bought that for the Best Buy deal, and he's logged in, God, I don't know, like over 100 hours on it already.
Woo! I've got like maybe half that.
Yeah, I've got just in the half that. But yeah, it's definitely mixed for me. I mean, the first part of the game was just awesome, and it just seemed to kind of drop ever so slowly after that point. It's weird, yeah, because it does have like these really cool mechanics and like these side mechanics as well. All the systems kind of play nicely together, but it just seems it's all put on top of this rather kind of mundane story, and you kind of just trudge along the world and do what you need to do from task to task. But no, the actual mechanics of the game are really cool. So it's something which is, I'm hoping they will fix a lot of the not so great things with the sequel, because I think it has the potential to be something really incredible, Bravely Default. But it's hard to really put
Bravely
this game.
Bravely Second is the sequel.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right.
Bravely Second. We're counting on you to fix these mistakes.
Because it can. So I hope it does.
Yeah. I actually was really always impressed with the like online and social functionalities of this game, actually, which might bump it up a little higher on my list for sure. I don't know. There's so many social things. You can, like, connect with friends and Abilink. Such a weird word to say out loud.
Abilink, yeah.
Abilink. However you want to say it. You can Abilink with your friends, which gives you their abilities, so that if they're more powerful than you, you can add some more abilities and moves to your moveset via your friends. You can also, like, invite friends. Though you can't Abilink with just like net invited friends. But yeah, just the online functionality of it, even though you're not actually like playing the game with other people, I was always actually pretty impressed with that. I don't know. That's kind of weird. It just makes me want to connect with people.
Yeah, and it has some cool street pass features, which help build up your village.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Very cool.
Although I never actually street passed with anybody. I built my village via the internet, mostly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bravely Default might be kind of middling. It might be kind of at the end of our top five list, but we'll see. We're going to just end that list there. You guys might be looking at the list, too, but... I kind of decided that, you know, those other games on there aren't necessarily worth mentioning, so...
No.
We have basically come to the conclusion time-wise of the podcast, but obviously we have not determined our top five RPG/strategy games on the 3DS, so that will be coming next week. Makes things a little easier on me anyway. And let's make this a listener/reader thing. So listeners... please contact us, sending an email to contact@infendo.com or leaving a comment on the site on what you think about this list of games. And we will try to incorporate that because we haven't, even collectively, we haven't played them all. So, yeah, let us know what you think. And with that, we have come to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
See you, everybody.
Catch you next time.
Goodbye.